Count of Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo visits Mercedes in the garden of the old house where his father once lived. She reveals her love, but realizes how time and hardship have intervened. They say goodbye in the belief they will meet again. The present scene opens at the gate of the Chateau d'If, where Monte Cristo was a prisoner for 14 years. The Count of Monte Cristo.
Visitors are permitted here, then?
Oui, monsieur. There have been no prisoners confined here in the Chateau d'If since the Revolution of July.
Who remains in charge?
It is used as a headquarters for the revenue patrol. I am the concierge.
I have often heard of the Chateau d'If. What a grim, gigantic structure it is.
Would you like to be shown about, monsieur?
If you will be so kind.
We have many visitors, monsieur. You see, there are interesting legends connected with the Chateau d'If.
It is of historical fame, I understand.
Oui, monsieur. For 300 years, there has been many a scene of terror inside these gray old walls.
I suppose all the old jailers are gone.
They have all been pensioned. I have been here since 1830.
8 years. Are there any stories about this prison that you know of, except the one about the poisoning of Mirabeau?
Oui, monsieur. There was a strange story told me by the jailer, Antoine.
Antoine?
Did you know of him?
A coincidence. The name brings back an old recollection.
The story is about one of the dungeons down below. Would you like to see it, monsieur?
If you please.
We go down here. I'll take this torch. This dungeon that I am going to show you was occupied by a very dangerous political prisoner.
Really?
He was especially dangerous because he was skillful and industrious.
An industrious prisoner?
In another dungeon was a prisoner who was less wicked, a poor mad priest.
I see.
He thought himself very rich. He offered millions to anyone who would set him free.
Well, these prisoners knew each other then.
Oh, it was expressly forbidden to have any communication. But they managed to make a passage 50 feet long from one dungeon to the other.
I have never heard of such a thing.
It is true, monsieur.
Which of the prisoners made the tunnel?
It must have been the young one. He was strong. The abbe was weak, and his mind was too feeble to allow him to carry out such a scheme.
Blind fools.
Here is the dungeon. It is no longer locked, you see. Walk right in, monsieur. Here, look. Look over on the wall.
What is it?
That spot marks the passage where it came in. I'll hold the torch close to the wall. There, now you can see it. Look closely, monsieur. It's a trifle difficult at first for some people.
Yes. Yes.
This tunnel leads 50 feet to the other dungeon.
So you said.
I've been through it myself, monsieur. There's one place where it is very narrow.
But it is sealed up, I see.
Oh, it is open in the other dungeon. Some of the visitors, like yourself, often go a short distance through the passage.
Quite an adventure for a visitor.
Nobody knows how many years it took to make that tunnel, or how long the two prisoners communicated.
Of course.
But one day, the priest fell ill and died. Now, guess what the young one did?
I could never imagine.
He carried away the corpse and put it on his own bed with its face to the wall.
Tien.
Then he entered the empty dungeon, closed the entrance to the passage with a stone, and got into the burial sack which had contained the body.
You amaze me.
He sewed himself inside.
It's almost incredible.
The young man evidently thought that prisoners who died in the Chateau d'If were buried, and not very deeply.
But what happened?
No doubt he expected to raise the earth with his shoulders, you see. But unfortunately for him, the custom was to throw the dead from the battlements into the sea with a cannonball tied to the feet.
A terrible miscalculation.
And that was what was done.
Frightful.
The young man was thrown from the top of the tower, and his body was found on the shore the next day. Then the whole truth became known.
This passage was discovered.
Oui, monsieur. Poor fellow.
You pity him?
Ma foi, oui. Though he was in his own element.
What do you mean?
The report was that he had been a naval officer and had plotted with the Bonapartists.
Thus the poor sailor lives in the memory of his captors. No doubt his sad story is recited in many a chimney corner. Was his name ever known?
Number 34. That is all. Did you wish to see anything more, monsieur?
I should like to see the room of the poor abbé.
Oh, it is number 27. Step right this way, monsieur. Oh, wait. The other dungeon is locked. I must get the key. I will leave you the torch.
No, take it with you. I can see in the dark.
Why, you are like number 34. It is said he became so accustomed to the darkness that he could see a pin in the farthest corner.
It took many years. There is this stone where I used to sit. And the impression in the wall made by my shoulders. There is the bloodstain where I dashed my head against the stones. And those figures. I calculated father's age and that of Mercedes. I had a moment's hope just as I had finished that calculation. Those white letters. I can still read them. Oh, God. Preserve my memory. I no longer begged for liberty. I dreaded to lose my memory.
Monsieur.
You have the key?
Yeah, oui, monsieur. You didn't mind being left alone in so dismal a place and without a light?
I wanted to imagine how it seemed to be confined in a dungeon.
Oh, you are brave, monsieur. Not many visitors would remain alone down here in the dark. Ah, but you can see in the dark. How does it happen that you have this rare faculty, monsieur?
You have never lived in the Arctic regions, I suppose.
Like most Frenchmen, I have never been out of France.
Up in the polar countries, the nights last for 6 months.
Mon Dieu, one has to learn to see in the dark in order to live there.
Precisely.
Here is number 27. The old abbé drew a meridian on the wall. That's how he kept track of the time. This dungeon was like a museum. The prisoner had managed to make a full set of tools.
How was that possible?
There was a chisel fashioned out of the clamp of his bedstead. Also a pair of pincers. A level. What else I do not remember.
Really phenomenal.
He evidently furnished himself with a pen and some ink.
Surely someone from the outside supplied him.
No, monsieur. The abbé made them himself. The pen was a fishbone. It is also said that he had matches.
I cannot believe it.
The theory is that he pretended to have some affliction of the skin and was given sulfur to treat it.
But what about a lamp? Matches alone would not do.
The story is that he melted the fat from the meat that was brought to him and used it for oil. There were some pieces of flint and burned linen found. So Antoine told me. He was the jailer who had charge of the abbé.
And they called him mad.
And now look at the floor. Do you see those faint marks?
They are designs.
The entire floor was covered with designs. But they have been worn away by the feet of visitors.
What do you suppose the designs were for?
No one has ever been able to understand. Evidently, the abbe had been a scholar, but these marks were meaningless.
You think so?
Here is the entrance to the passage. From the appearance of the stone, a scientist declared the prisoners must have visited each other for 10 years.
Tiens.
Poor things. What a weary time.
Take this, my friend.
Merci, monsieur. But you have made a mistake. You have given me gold.
I know it.
Oh, monsieur, I cannot understand your generosity.
I have been a sailor. Your story touched me.
Then, since you are so liberal, monsieur, I ought to offer you a souvenir.
Ah.
I did a little looking about here on my own account. I discovered a hollow sound by the head of the bed and under the hearth.
Yes?
I raised the stones and found...
A rope ladder and more tools.
Why, how do you know that?
I guessed it. Such things are generally found in these hiding places, I am told.
That is exactly what I found. A rope ladder and tools.
Do you still have them?
No, I sold them to visitors. They consider them great curiosities. But I have something left.
What is it?
A sort of book written upon strips of cloth.
Let me see it.
It is behind the bedpost. Will you help me with this stone, monsieur?
This is quite heavy, I suppose.
Yes, it sticks now and then. There now, if you'll hold that corner steady, monsieur, while I... You see? What a hiding place it is. Here is the book.
Merci.
I don't suppose it has any value, but it certainly is a curiosity.
Oh, Abbe Faria, who gave me liberty and riches and knowledge, grant me some sign, some revelation.
Open it, monsieur.
It is his great work on the kingdoms of Italy. Ah, here is the epigraph he wrote. Thou shalt tear out the dragon's teeth and shalt trample the lions underfoot, saith the Lord. Here is my answer.
Monsieur.
Take this.
Your pocketbook? Why, no, monsieur.
Take it. It is yours. Ah, Faria, you have removed all doubt, all remorse. You give me new life again as you did so long ago.
Oh, monsieur, I cannot take this sum. Why, here are 10,000 francs. Wait, monsieur. No, you cannot find your way out. Monsieur, wait for me. Oh, heaven bless you. Oh, mon Dieu. Monsieur.